Peace be with you in Christ's name. Amen. The text I've selected for today is from John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Dear friends, this text I just read is about life, and therefore this sermon is going to be about life. People have a variety of reactions in a church when they hear something like that. Those who are passionately pro-life are happy. Great, I've been waiting for this, they say. Those who think that life issues like abortion and euthanasia are just politically charged social issues may not be so happy. They might think, oh, well, it's one of those issues that we're not to discuss in church. It's controversial. I'm not looking forward to this. Those who are indifferent about it think, okay, well, another special Sunday. Let's get on with it. And then there are those whose lives have been touched by abortion or difficult end-of-life decisions. And they might be afraid. My heart aches because of a decision that I once made. This is going to be painful. Well, I'm well aware that people have all these thoughts and may be present here this morning. And that's what's so wonderful about dealing with the Word of Life, is that it speaks to each one of us regardless of our perspective. And he does so always with love and compassion and understanding. So this morning, whether we're happy, disgruntled, indifferent, or afraid, let's all listen to and about the Word of Life. The first thing we learn from the Word of Life is that it was there in the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word. All life came through him. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made. In him was life. All creation is about life. Every word that God spoke brought things into existence here for the purpose of sustaining and perpetuating life. Doesn't matter what it is. The sun, the moon, light, the atmosphere, the land, the plants, the animals, the heavenly bodies, the birds, the fish. These were all setting the stage for the grand finale when God said, "Let us make man in our own image." The Word of Life in the beginning was spoken for the sake of human life. All creation was called into being to sustain, to provide for, and enhance human life. And human life was given all of creation to care for. So the Word of God has a special hands-on involvement in those first human lives. He formed man from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him the breath of life. He made a woman from the rib he had taken from the man. This hands-on work of creation continues in the biological process that God set into place. The Bible says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's wombs. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are wonderful. I know that full well." The 139th Psalm. Just as he was involved in the beginning in human lives, in the same way he's involved today at the beginning of every human life. So regardless of your perspective on this life Sunday, you cannot listen to the Word of Life in the beginning of time without standing in awe of the value and the dignity that God's creation brings to human life. Second thing we learn about the Word of Life is that he was not only there in the beginning of time, but he came to bring a new beginning in time. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's a need for new life and new light. We live in the world that God created, but it's not like the world that God created. He who was perfect and lived in a perfect place was deceived into thinking that things could be better. Did God really say? Satan hissed, and the foundation to deception was laid. You will be like God, he lied. Adam and Eve were already created in the likeness of God. But Satan cleverly added, you will know good from evil. Why should God have a monopoly on what's good and you not know that? Why can't you get in on that? And the deception, you see, was complete. And the crown of creation was corrupted, and all of creation with him. I was on vacation this summer with my family. We drove out to Colorado there, and we stayed at a couple of KOA campgrounds, you know, and it's not really like camping because you got a pool, and there's an interstate right by you, you know, these trucks whizzing by all hours, but it's all the amenities of home except you stay in a tent, you know. Well, then we thought we would get a little rougher, so we drove out west of Colorado Springs and kept driving and driving. Finally, we found this state park out there. And it was primitive, but beautiful. And so we had this campground by this mountain lake there. And as we were going to bed, we noticed there near our campsite was this high rocky place, just kind of sticking out of nowhere. And so the next morning, my daughter and I got up early, and we said, let's climb that hill. And it took about an hour to get up there. And we got up on top, and I was so excited. I got right over to the edge, and I said, look, there's our campsite down there. And look, there's Mom looking up at us. And so we waved to her. And all of a sudden I heard, Dad, you ought to get back over here. And I turned around and my daughter's there. And she's not quite as daring on high places of sharp precipices as I am. As I think back about that, it occurs to me that isn't that the way that we are thinking about our creation sometimes? And about the world we live in. You know, sin gets in our minds and it darkens our focus. Sometimes we think, oh, sin's not so bad, as if we could just fly off a cliff, you know, just go out and live the way we want, and there's going to be no consequences for that. Or other times our sin overcomes us in a different way and makes us terrified and afraid that we're just going to perish. Either way, whichever way we go, Satan wins. But Satan doesn't win. Jesus has the final word, and the word is life. Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, came into our frightful life to bring us a new beginning. Everything he did was for us, for this new beginning, to bring us new life. We see that in the creeds and confessions that we have, we use in our church here. The word of life was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Why? To bring us new life. Scripture says about our conception and birth, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Jesus not only had to take our place on a cross and then in a tomb, but also in a fallopian tube and in a womb. We rightly look at Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit as a testimony of the divinity of Jesus from that very moment. But it's also a testimony about our humanity from the moment of conception and our need for redemption from that very moment. The Word of Life suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified to bring us new life. The hands that created the universe were the hands that bled to redeem it. The word of life died and was buried. Jesus paid the wages of sin and destroyed Satan, who had the power of death. And then the word of life ascended or descended into hell to bring us new life, to say in our behalf, I have beaten you, Satan. My victory is now God's people's victory. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead to bring us new life. His victory over death is our victory, and the resurrection is our assurance of Christ's presence with us in this life and our presence with him in eternal life. And finally, Jesus ascended into heaven and will come again to bring us new life. He ascended into heaven to rule over all creation. You know, things may seem out of control here in the world, But Jesus is in control, and he uses all events working together for the good of his people, and is getting things ready for his glorious return when he will make all things new. So regardless of your perspective on this Life Sunday, you cannot listen to the word of life about this new beginning in time without standing in awe of the value and dignity that God gives to human life. You were bought with a price, says St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. Jesus purchased and won you, says Luther in the Small Catechism. That gives immeasurable value to all human life. The word of life was in the beginning of time, giving special value to human life through his creative hands. And the word of life was there in the new beginning, in time, giving special value to human life through the hands stretched out on a cross. And now this word of life, John says, shines in the darkness. Sin brought darkness into God's bright and beautiful world of creation. And the darkness of sin affects everything around us. It affects us. This darkness really complicates our life. It complicates the powerful and simple truth that every human life is created by God and redeemed by God in the Word of Life. The darknesses of our human circumstances can do that. An unplanned pregnancy or a frightening diagnosis can plunge us into darkness and despair very quickly. The world does not understand the light that shines. And sometimes the world offers more darkness as a way out, death. You know, abortion is promoted as being a quick and easy way to deal with your problem and get on with your life, and sometimes as the only real choice you have. As one young woman put it, abortion was available and real accessible. I told the people at the clinic my fears, but they never offered any alternatives. All I could think of was abortion. I couldn't really see beyond the moment. The world, which doesn't understand the light, offers the darkness of suicide without or with physician's assistance, as we've heard in the news lately. Assisted suicide advocate Derek Humphrey said of his book, which is called Final Exit, it tells you how, where, and when to kill yourself or someone else. It breaks the last taboo. Follow my instructions for a perfect death, with no mess, no autopsy, and no postmortem. There is mounting pressure to turn death into a solution to dark circumstances. But the word of life shines in the darkness of your circumstances. The word of life promises, I created you and I redeemed you. There is no circumstance that can separate you from my love. There is no circumstance beyond my power to help you. There is no circumstance where some good is not hiding, says the Lord. There's the darkness of wrong decisions. Maybe you have not honored God with your body and not waited for marriage, and guilt and regret gnaw away at you. Maybe you had an abortion or been involved in a decision that resulted in an abortion, and guilt and regret are not just there present with you, but are gnawing away at you daily. You feel as if your sin is too big to be forgiven, but you're ashamed. Or decisions about stopping a particular treatment or not starting one can be very difficult, struggling with doubt about an end-of-life decision that you've made. Will stopping the treatment allow someone to die, or will it actually cause someone to die? That's not always easy to determine. Mistakes are made. But the word of life shines forth to wrong decisions, into that darkness. And the word of life promises, I created you, I redeemed you. There is no sin that can separate you from my love. My blood cleanses you from all sin. There is no condemnation for those who trust in me. I have taken your wrong decisions with me to the cross. I have suffered your condemnation. I give you my goodness. So you are blameless and you are clean, says the Lord. There's one more aspect of darkness that finds its way in among God's people, and perhaps it's the most dangerous darkness of all, the darkness of indifference to issues of life and death. We label something political or social or controversial, and we pretend that it's not appropriate to deal with in church. There are people in churches condemning the war in Iraq right now, but you know, we've got a 35-year war against the unborn going on in our country. But if that which is political allows for the destruction of over, not 3,000 people over the course of war, but 3,000 innocent, defenseless lives every day, lives created by God and lives for whom Jesus died, then we had better deal with it in our churches so we can shine the word of life upon it. If that which is social wounds so many women and so many others and fills them with remorse and hopelessness, we had better deal with it in our churches so we can shine the word of life upon it. If that which is controversial leaves so many struggling with what to do with pain and suffering, then we'd better deal with it in our churches so we can shine the word of life upon it. And that's the reason we as God's people need to deal with these issues. That is the reason that we need to shrug off our indifference. It's not because we want the church to shirk her mission and become politically active. Not at all. It is because we want the church to be about her mission of shining that word of life on people's lives. There's no room for indifference when we have the only thing that can make a difference, Jesus, the word of life. So what can you do to make a difference in the area of life? Pray. Pray for our nation that a respect of life at all ages and all conditions can be restored. Pray for Christ's church that she might be united in her message of life. Be informed. These issues are complicated. Nobody can keep up with all of them, all the laws and things that go on in our world. But there are organizations like Lutherans for Life that can inform you. You can get their newsletter, Life Date, and read about it from a biblical perspective. You can call them up and ask them to send that to you. You can be an example and a mentor and talk about these issues with your children and with your grandchildren. You can take some action. Shining the word of life into people's lives is more than just saying words, but we're called upon to be that light. Now, as Pastor Elliot said, we're going to hand out some baby bottles after church, and if you take one of those, you can use it as a bank at home. You know, throw your change in there, and that money, you can bring it back here to church or take it to the crisis nursery. That's where it's going to be going, so that people can be helped who are facing a pregnancy that's going to be difficult in their life, but that they not, you know, take the life of this child, but that we show our care and concern for them, for this child, and be raised. You know, some people are really going way out of here. We have a family in the front pew, if I might point out to them, that have a child here in our church for the first time that they've adopted. Judah is his name, I understand, and I hope you'll come up and say hi to the Ruligs up here and meet their new son. The word of life in the beginning of time gives value to all life in time through God's creating word. The word of life, he shines in our lives and in our darkness, bringing light and hope to us. The word of life, I pray he shines through us to help others to know their value and the value of every human life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding will keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.